Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. Oh, it gets me every time. Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor, and we're going to have some fun today. We're still going to crap on Lane Kiffin some more, because why not? And Sark decided he wanted to get in the mix.
Wait, what are we doing?
And we're still, Ben, we're still trying... We're still playing this charade that school matters anymore, and it drives me crazy. But anyway, let's jump right into it. We got another Auburn topic at the end if we have enough time. But yeah. So obviously we all know Lane Kiffin threw Ole Miss under the bus for you know what for.
Racism.
Racism. He had to get out of there. And he since. Sort of half-ass try to walk it back.
Well, I'd say it's less than half-ass try to walk it back.
Tell us, go through like how he tries to say, oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, I don't know how else you could mean it, but.
I mean, first off, he was on, like you said, it was like the original, it was when he was on like a 4-hour interview. Yeah. And, you know, he in his apology that he didn't really say, I'm sorry, by the way, if you listen to the whole apology, Kyle. I love these things when they come out publicly and they're like, no, I apologize. I was like, no, you addressed it. But, you know, it's kind of like when you got kids, like you got to make – I got to make one of my daughters literally say I'm sorry to the other daughter. Like it doesn't count just to go, I shouldn't have done that. It's like, yeah, but do you feel bad about it? And clearly he didn't do that. He didn't feel bad about it. But he said it was not it wasn't calculated with me bringing that up. And he did not intend to, quote unquote, offend, but rather highlighted differences in recruiting narratives. What are you highlighting differences in recruiting narratives? You said that you had recruits tell you that they didn't feel safe coming to Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi.
You know how many – I saw a funny stat. It's not a funny stat. It's actually a terrible stat. Let me rephrase that. It was a funny post in response to this, but I think it was like how many murders there were in Baton Rouge last year versus Oxford, and it was insane. It's like I don't think Oxford had any or something like that, or it was a month last month or something like that, and it talked. I mean, if we're talking about feeling safe,
A guy, I'll give him a shout out here, even though he works for a competing radio station, because I'll say this because he's still with the company. There's a guy that I work with, Van Riggs, that got recruited to go work a radio station down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Kyle, when he looked at the crime statistics and his wife and him were considering going down there, they were going to have to live at a parish outside of Baton Rouge and go to a smaller school for his kids. Because of the danger of going to schools inside of Baton Rouge.
Like Oxford had zero murders last year. Baton Rouge had 94.
It's not that close of a statistic. Got to be honest with you.
talking about safety.
If you're leading 94 to nothing on the murder meter, that's a bad, that's not
we're
great.
Obviously, we're not making fun of murder. It's just funny that he used those terms like that safety was one of the things that he talked about. It's just
have you had the opportunity to hear the caller that called in the next round that son was recruited by Lane?
Yeah.
And how his son is now in the NFL.
I know who that was, by the way.
You know who that was?
I'm not gonna say who it was, but
so I just think that that's interesting that
he's funny name. He changed his name too, which is hilarious, but his voice is not mistakable.
But when he said, you know, when my son was being recruited by Lane, like he was talking to us on speakerphone all the time and saying how great and how safe it was in Oxford and how there's no worries here. We'll take care of you and the school will wrap its arms around you and all this kind of stuff. And he goes, and then he leaves, and all of a sudden, it's the most dangerous place in the Southeastern Conference to send a kid.
Well, okay. Well, to that note, I'll say, what is Lane supposed to say? You know what I mean? Like, and when you're recruiting to a school, you can't say, "Hey, man, come on," but understand when you get here, everybody's racist.
Well, you can say, I mean, it's better than when you get to Baton Rouge, it's got 94 murders and going that it's basically safer down here than it is in Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah, I'll say you got to sell what you got to sell for both wherever you are. But regardless, it just shows you how ingenuine he actually is. He's trying to, for whatever reason, at that point in time, he must have felt like he was catching grief or something like that for, you know, the way that whole thing with Ole Miss ended. And he just like, well, I'm just going to lob something up to kind of clear my name. You know, people are dogging me, so I'm just going to clear my name and come up with a reason why. But in reality, you had a bigger paycheck and a bigger pocketbook to go get players, and that's okay.
It's okay to say what Nick Saban said. Nick Saban said this as a head coach at Alabama. LSU is one of the easiest places to recruit because every kid in the state of Louisiana wants to play for LSU. It's okay to say that. Lane could have said that. He could have said that this opportunity presented itself and you've got a base of fans here that it's a lot easier for me to recruit Louisiana as opposed to Ole Miss, where kids may be looking to go to Alabama, Mississippi State, Memphis, right up the road from Oxford, Mississippi, Auburn, LSU, kids that are wanting to get out of Mississippi and go down to LSU. Now I'm at LSU, and I've basically got a hotline that every kid in the state of Louisiana can call in and say, hey, I want to be on your radar and play for LSU. And he didn't go that route. Instead, he went to bashing his former team. And, you know, if he wants to bash Tennessee for getting fired on the tarmac, I get it. You got some bitter feelings. But you chose this. You chose
this life.
Yeah. Like, you decided to leave. They didn't come to you and say, do this or else. So, matter of fact, when he did all his, let's call it what it was, bitching about facility, they started opening up money to fix stuff and to get things rectified. And they were trying to work with him. And he still left for a bigger check and a better recruiting opportunity down at Louisiana State University.
And I'm here to say that is okay, Lane.
Yes.
You don't have to apologize to anybody for that.
No.
If it's a better opportunity, and I mean, arguably it is. Like, it's not even really arguably. I think it objectively is a better situation.
Oh, if you ask 100 football coaches if they'd rather coach at Ole Miss or LSU, what do you think the answer is going
to
be?
It's going to be LSU, but it ain't going to have anything to do with racism. It's going to have everything to do with fertile recruiting ground, more money, bigger stadium, more resources, and more tradition. Like, period. That's it, and that's okay. I don't get it. Why, but Ben, why, and you see it from players that go, clearly go to go get a higher paycheck.
Yeah.
That's okay. Why do players and then coaches and everybody around college football get so offended when you start talking about money when everybody knows it's driven by money?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Why? Who are you fooling?
And when it's more money, like it's not, you know, that's what gets, that doesn't happen in any other world. I mean, Kyle, right now, if, you know, me working at Auburn Network, if I get a job offer at a bigger market for twice the money and I go in and tell my bosses, they're going to be like, so when do you leave? Like what's the timeline here? Like, they're not going to be mad at me.
Every walk of life, you don't have to explain yourself if you're going to take a step up in your, whether it's promotion, if it includes more money or just, it's just a title. Like, you don't have to apologize for that.
No.
So why are we doing this?
And why did you go down that road?
Yes.
Like, why, you know, he didn't go down the old road of complaining about the administration and the facilities. He went down the road of something.
Oh my gosh!
Didn't even have to be mentioned.
And your mascot's literally named after a Confederate battle troop, like at LSU. Like, let's pretend. I don't really want to dive off into that actual part of it. It just blows my mind. It's not just coaches too; it's players. Nope. Like, we'll get so offended if you rightfully talk about them going and chasing the bag or going to look for a better financial situation. Why is that offensive?
Because they're stuck.
If it's true.
They're stuck in that old rut, especially fans are, of it being faux pas to, because you didn't talk about leaving for money before. You know, NIL has changed that. But the thing is you got to change your mindset, because I saw an excerpt yesterday from Cole Kublik and what's his name?
Greg McElroy?
Yeah, McElroy. Mac and Cube show that takes place. And caller had called in. He was an Auburn fan and was talking to Cole, and he was talking about, you know, why you chose the school and blah, blah, blah. And kids, people used to choose for the education and used to choose. And Cole was like, look, I played in the early 2000s. I can tell you that 95% of the players on the team did not choose Auburn for its education. He goes, and that includes me. He said, I didn't look and go, oh, that mass comm degree looks great, or that liberal arts degree looks great. He's like, I got told that I'd have an opportunity to start, and I was going to play football.
Yes.
This goes back to your point of what you were saying, that we're playing school, and it ain't new.
No, it's worse.
You just heard a guy that's now a sideline reporter, does some play-by-play and does some color commentary and has his own show in a large market, and he and his co-host were like, we went to the school to play football. Like, I'm sorry. Yes, they did get a degree out of it. Both of them did. But they went to play football. And Cole even talked about a buddy that was best buds of his that was from Mobile. He went to Notre Dame because Notre Dame said, you're going to start and play football at Notre Dame. Notre Dame has a great education. He said, I talked to him when he left. He didn't know what he was going to major in and didn't care. He was going to be donning a gold helmet and running out of that tunnel.
And that's not to say like you can't go get a degree. And there are guys that take advantage of it, like that know they're, but come on, like, why are we and now school matters, like it seems like even less than it did.
No,
it did then. At least you could argue back then when you couldn't make life-changing money. Like, for example, is it Le'Veon Moss, I believe, the running back from Texas A&M? He's medically retired after 4 days in NFL training camp. Why? Why do you think that made that decision a lot easier? Because of all the money he made in college. You know what I mean?
He had a nest egg. He made some good investments.
I just don't understand why we're playing this, continue to play this game, and then Steve Sarkisian, who wins the award for doing less with more than anyone on earth, starts in on Ole Miss also about academics. And there, he's asked about the transfer portal. He's like, well, you know, we have higher standards here at the University of Texas in Austin, and only X amount of credits transfer, and we don't have classes like underwater basket weaving. And I'm like, why are we?
Like, you had no business even interjecting yourself into the conversation.
You didn't even have to say Ole Miss.
And then for you to pull a holier than thou card at the University of Texas over Ole Miss, because if you decide to transfer to Texas, only 50% of your credits are going to transfer. What are we doing? Like, and I don't know, Kyle, I told you there was a little bit of an overlap with Sark and Kiffin at Alabama. Sark, when he was doing his, what I call his rehab stint as an analyst for Nick Saban, and Kiffin was the offensive coordinator. They were in the same room. Maybe he felt the need to defend him. Maybe this would be something like if you got ridiculed for something and somebody stuck a microphone in my face and I was like, yeah, you know, Kyle and I go way back. Like, I'd probably preface it with that. Kyle and I go way back, and I may say something. But even if that's the case, that's just one of those things where if you had said something stupid regarding racist comments, I'd have been like, yeah, I'm not touching that. Like, I'll talk to Kyle alone.
I don't think they're connected at all. I just think Sark was being an idiot.
You're not a Sark fan, though, are you?
Huh?
You're not a Sark fan, are you?
No. Yeah. I mean, I like him. I think he's a good – I mean, he does underachieve.
He does underachieve.
But, again, the term underachieve, I feel like everybody's always comparing to Saban and Kirby. When you talk about, like, that's what things should be, and that's not really the reality really more so Saban than Kirby. Kirby had that streak there for a little bit. Now they seem more human. But yeah, I just don't understand why. Like, let me give you an example before I go there. Before I go to this example of what I'm talking about, do you think Arch was like, Coach? I mean, my dad and my uncle and
oh, I sent you that graphic.
My granddad played there.
Yeah. That graphic where he was like whispering in his ear, and he was like, you know, my dad, my uncle, and my granddad all lettered and played it, you know, at Ole Miss. What are you doing?
Yeah, like that's probably not the smartest thing to do. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a call.
That's going to make for an awkward meeting room in the QB room when Sark's in there. Not to mention what you just said. I'm not thinking about Cooper calling him.
No, Papa.
I'm thinking about that granddad.
Oh, Archie. Archie's going to get it, the namesake.
Archie's done. He's got to be a grumpy old man anyway.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me if that phone call has not already been made.
Yeah. Like, here's the deal, Ben. And this is where I was going with the example. Look, Cam Coleman's unreal, okay? Unreal talent.
Yeah.
All right? He had a perception, rightly or wrongly, that Texas was a better spot with a better quarterback, with a better offense, more established offense, and he made more money.
Yeah.
Okay? Those three things are fine business decisions.
Yes.
He did not go because of their physics department. He did not go because of their academic standards.
Right.
He did not go because of anything other than those three things I mentioned. And Ben, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to talk about. If you make a business decision, again, where you feel like you've elevated yourself, you don't have to apologize for it.
No.
And make up some other garbage about it. Your academic standards at Texas, the University of Texas, attract zero football players. I'll tell you what does, though, the Austin Lamborghini sponsorship.
Yes.
That attracts football players. Yep. The number one payroll, at least reportedly, the top payroll in college football, that attracts football players. The psychology department or the nursing school or the building science department had zero to do with why those kids went to Texas. And that is okay.
The only schools that can claim that people come here for the academics or for the school itself and not the program, Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, any of the service academies, because they are going to serve their country and they just happen to play a sport while they're there. They're literally the only ones that can claim that, because other guys are going to get on the field. They're going to play football or basketball or baseball or whatever it is they're playing, golf team. I mean, that's why those guys, when they get letters, they love to have offers from five or six different schools. They ain't looking – now, grandma may be looking at the academics at a certain school and saying, hey, you wanted to be a coach and a teacher. They got a good education department. But the kid is talking to the coach and going, am I going to play, and how much are you paying me to play?
Yeah, we're not talking – this isn't the rule for literally every player. Like, I can remember Auburn losing a recruiting battle to Stanford with a kid, and it was after – the Pac-12 dissolved. So Stanford didn't even really have a conference at the time. And he chose Stanford because of academics. That happens. There's going to be a kid that may choose Duke because of academics. But like, there's schools like Vanderbilt has even had to figure out how to relax their entrance standards. And they're using their Peabody College to help get kids in so they can be competitive at this level, because school is the last thing on these guys' mind.
Yep.
It was already at the very bottom, but now as a whole, it's like way down the list as far as what they care about. And that is okay. Like, I'm not saying that is a bad thing. Yep. Why can't we just say that out in the open? And here's the thing, Ben, if we could, if we could say that out in the open, we might be able to create a sustainable league. We might be able to adopt some kind of real enforceable NIL rules, some sort of actual level playing field, if we would stop pretending we actually care about school and you know, own it. It's about money. And if that's the case, that's fine. It's not a knock. It's not a disparaging remark to say. That's why I tell fans all the time, like when you say, oh, he chased the bag, I'm like, that ain't a bad thing. Like, no. That's the game now. Like, that's part of it. Like, you don't want to say, oh, he just left for more money, because then you're like, well, we don't have money. Well, that just makes you look bad in this scenario, like in these scenarios. So I'm tired of the charade, dude. I'm so tired of the charade.
No, it's a frustrating thing because you still got those, the old people of the world, me being one of them, that will say, and I don't say this. I go the other way around, where they'll say, keep in mind, they're student athletes. I think my dad said it best, where my being a former administrator and helping send kids to play college ball or junior college ball somewhere, he said, no, they're athletic students. They're not student athletes. They're choosing to go play baseball at LBW because they have a gift of playing ball and they're going to be able to get an education because of it. But they're athletic students. They're not student athletes. And so I think people need to come to that. And I know that we got some listeners and some people that are going to
be mad about this.
They're going to be super mad, but you need to lose that vernacular.
You know, I'm right though.
That you need to lose that vernacular of, well, they're student athlete first. It's like, they ain't recruiting them because they got a 4.0 in high school. They're recruiting them because they run a 4.2 in the 40. That's why they're recruiting them. They're athletic students. And now that the money's been involved, that's another thing that, hell, you heard Saban say it when they asked about getting out. He said, look, when I was going on recruiting trips, it's like, am I going to play? How much? They didn't ask what degree they could get. They didn't ask what classes, to what time they started. Am I going to get any help tutoring if I fall behind? Am I going to play? How much? Yep. That's the two questions.
Yep.
What part of that says anything about student in that conversation? Nothing.
Zero.
So, you got to the times have changed, and the people that are still locked into 1991 need to change with it. Like, they need to come up and realize that it's a different game now. And it's best said what you just said. You look at Texas, I mean, leading the nation as far as open pocketbook. I mean, A&M ain't far behind them. That oil money is trying to bring athletes in left and right over there. So none of them are looking at what class they're going to be taking come Monday morning. They're looking at what time film session begins, when can I get in the weight room, and when does that check hit my bank account?
Exactly. Exactly. Ben, you watching the PGA Championship this weekend?
I'm watching it right now. I got ESPN app pulled up in the studio.
How about homeboy getting a 2-stroke penalty for being late to his tee time? How are you late to your tee time to the PGA Championship?
Who was it that was late?
Garrett Higo.
Oh, man. He is kind of – yeah.
He's like one that can't really afford – you kind of need to be on time when you're grinding.
Yeah, you don't need to start 2 strokes in the hole. Like, yeah.
What a time to be alive. Hey, I tell you what, though. I'm fired up. Thank y'all. Thank you, Sark, and thank you, Lane, for the content. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is talking season right now, and you guys keep showing
your ass. Five-star content right there. Guys, y'all have a great rest of your day. We'll talk again tomorrow. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War Damn Eagle.